sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. And, you know, children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing. Okay, the schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in a child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Greetings, Student Generation Army. I'm so grateful to be connected with you, my listeners. You are some of the most engaged, responsive, loving, and caring people I know. I need to bring to your attention an urgent need for our ministries in India. While there has become a focus on the Uyghurs in China, our ministries in Jammu, Kashmir, and Punjab are being terrorized by those same Uyghurs, the Taliban, and the mounting CCP army at the border of India. Between these threats and the lockdowns, we find ourselves in need of additional financial support. I'm asking for your help to support these pastors and their families, our orphans, our widows, our Bible students, and our community outreaches. $15 will feed a pastor's family for a month. $20 funds our sewing school instructor, and $150 a week funds our base operations, the orphans, the Bible school students, even the sewing school, and our senior indigenous Pastor Samuel. So please go to paypal.me/Pastor Greg. That's paypal.me/Pastor Greg. Or you can call me at 209-380-8654, 209-380-8654, to make your donation over the phone. Please call us, contact me today, and make your best donation. Thank you, and God bless you.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you so much for keeping it tuned here. I want to welcome our audience listening in Toledo, Ohio, and welcome you aboard. Great to have you with me here on the Truth Broadcasting Network. Also, those of you listening in Utah and KYH 540 AM Delta, Utah, and found out also those listening in Elmira, New York. Not exactly sure when we're on there.
there, but good to have you folks on board. Shout out to Mr. Long, who was listening to us on his way to work the other day. Thanks for the message. We appreciate those. You can reach out to us at the website, chosengenerationradio.com, chosengenerationradio.com. We'll be glad to hear from you. We enjoy hearing from you, our listeners. So look forward to hearing from you. Give us a shout out there if you would. Let's see. Hour number one, we had Michael Morris. A lot to talk about there, including Microsoft Word and a new update that is going to include censorship of what you write on your Microsoft Word document. I am not kidding. Seriously, if you'd like to hear more about that, we'll have an article up about that at chosengenerationradio.com this afternoon. That was interesting. The FDA also has determined that the mono, let me see here, it's Regeneron and Eli Lilly's antibody drugs are no longer approved by the FDA because, well, you know, they don't do anything for you. Of course, neither does the Poke, but what the heck? Let's get that. So anyway, we talked about that. Reverend Quinard Childress, blackgenocide.org. Great conversation with him. And you know what? Transgenderism is a stair step to pedophilia. It really is. The Mind Polluters talks about that film. If you haven't had a chance to view that, I encourage you to do so. So yeah, there's a lot of conversation to have. At the end of the day, the bottom line is thankfully, our Heavenly Father is still in charge. God's still on the throne. And believe me, it's comforting to know in the midst of all this insanity that God is still in control and you can have a relationship with Him. And I hope that you do. And if you'd like to learn more about that, feel free to reach out again, chosengenerationradio.com. Or here we go. I'm going to do it again. Call me, 830-446-3624. 830-446-3624. All right. My guest, our constitutional attorney expert, and I'm so pleased that he is here because do you want to share? You had some craziness happen this week.
Sure.
David Shostokas is with us, but you were involved. I know. I mean, just like myself, you about a year ago, a little over a year ago, you died and came back to life. They lost you in a courtroom, and were able to revive you. God brought you back. Now you've been in a car accident. Talk about it.
Yes, Greg, it's great to be with you and your listeners. And we just had you asked me how I was when you called me to get the get on the show. My answer was, I'm alive.
To which I said, "Well, wait a minute. What does that mean? Why are you saying that?"
yeah. So I'm alive with all the consequences that go with that. And the fact is that. Yeah, a couple of nights ago, I was in the car with my sister. We were on the way to an event in a far north suburb of Chicago. I came to a stop at a busy intersection waiting to make a right turn on red. And a fellow in the cross street was going to make a left-hand turn. And he started making his left-hand turn, and another guy came from the opposite direction, slammed into him, and the other guy was already in motion. And I could then tell that car was turned around and coming straight toward me. Me personally, not just my car, but me personally.
Right.
And I glanced to my right, and strangely enough, it was 12 degrees outside up here that night, but there was nevertheless a guy, a pedestrian on the street, walking. When I glanced to my right, so I had nothing. I had no choice but to just kind of brace myself and watch this car drive toward me. It was really surreal. We were talking before about how everything seems to slow down and how it all seems to go in slow motion. Because I did have like I said, when I first saw it happen, I did have the opportunity to look to my right to see if I had any weight, shape,
some way, to avoid this, right?
Yeah, to see if I had an opportunity to get out of the way. And because of that pedestrian, I had no opportunity to get out of the way. So I literally, and my sister was sitting to my right. And it was very, strangely enough, it was almost a peaceful moment of almost kind of like resignation. It was really very curious because Jill says, I just, she said, all you said was, oh. Yeah, that was it.
What do you say, right? What else? Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, okay, well,
yeah.
Either God's going to bring me home right now, or this is all going to work out, and we're going to be okay. It's one or the other. So,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was. There was no yelling, no screaming, no expletives of any sort. Just a very simple oh. And then I looked at it, and I watched him drive right into the driver's side door.
Wow!
But
you're okay. You said, but your back is a little shooken up.
Yeah, my lower back feels like it's got some muscular discomfort as a result of this incident. Because I think I kind of I tensed up, and then it slammed me a little bit. Jill is a little in the upper area because apparently she saw what was going on. After I said, oh, she looked over and saw what was going on. She ducked, put her head down and ducked and whatnot. And so the impact adversely affected her. But
of course.
I'm so blessed. It's not a fancy car, but it's a heavy car. It's a 2011 Cadillac. And so it's,
I've ridden so it's heavy. I've ridden in that car.
That's
I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. I guess I won't be able to do that again.
You know what? We're working on getting the car fixed.
Oh, good.
The moment, you know,
we'll see, right? Yeah.
The panels, but for any number of reasons, I needed to use it today, and I was concerned after it happened that there might be some damage to the frame and things like that.
Yeah.
And that now when I go over just a little bit above, it goes,
yeah.
So there's damage beyond the cosmetic damage.
Okay. I'm glad you're okay. And if we speaking of unavoidable issues, there are a number of unavoidable issues that are before us as we converse today, predicated on decisions that are being made. One of those unavoidable decisions actually is the issue of lawlessness, David, that is overflowing. I was telling my audience in the first segment, as I was telling them about some of the stuff we were going to perhaps talk about, but you know, in California, Oregon, and Washington, that I'm pretty sure Oregon, I know California and Washington, but yeah, no, and Oregon, they have legalized pot. And so they're harvesting it. They have fields of marijuana that are being harvested. But the people that are actually doing the majority of the harvesting are actually the cartels. And the cartels are then taking and packaging that and shipping that dope out to the rest of the world. And it's just... go ahead.
There's a couple of things that's going on with that. Not the least of which is while they've legalized it, of course, the government is, in terms of determining to legalize it, decided that they were going to tax it significantly and looked at it as a significant source of revenue. But all they wound up doing is making the street price well beyond the production price and made it very difficult to prosecute people for growing. So now the folks that are growing it are still selling it illegally because it's cheaper to sell it without the taxes. So they didn't achieve anything in the way they did that. They should have let them, if they're going to do it, they let the market dictate. But politicians don't understand economics. And so this has caused a brand new problem. And the illegal people will still be selling it on the street, probably close by the dispensaries, because they can sell it cheaper than you can buy it in the dispensary.
Right.
It's... always economics at work, and of course, politicians just say, "Oh well, if there's this much being trafficked, then it will continue to be trafficked, even if we tax it to high heaven." No, that's not how it works. You know, raise the price of it, then you will still have the illegal people.
You just create the black market, but you create an even easier means by which for the black market to exist. And the other piece to this is, and Brandon Darby and I had a pretty extensive conversation about this several years ago, because, you know, the growers down in South America and in Mexico were having to put fentanyl into the pot in order to make it potent enough to compete with the American marijuana that was being harvested in just a couple of states when it was first, you know, made legal. Well, yeah. Now that they have these large groves and they can actually harvest it there in America themselves, they're still sending fentanyl and opioids, and heroin is a big thing that they're trafficking in now. But they're trafficking those in by themselves, and it's a lot easier, actually, as I understand it, for them to bring the pill forms in than it was for them to actually bring in, you know, blocks of marijuana laced with it. So again, you know, the exact opposite of what they told us was going to happen. But this speaks to an even larger and broader situation. And that is, we've created an amoral culture where there's no such thing as absolute truth. And then introduced into that a lawless, a lawless behavior where, you know, attorney generals and state attorney generals and so forth don't prosecute criminals.
Well, they not only don't prosecute criminals, of course, they're lawless themselves in terms of how they conduct their business. Of course, the president, the guy that's sitting in the White House, he governs by press conference, and the various governors that are issuing mandates. I can't say this enough. There is no, everybody says mandate. There is no mandate existing in American law. There's no such thing. And those people that are issuing these things, 99% of the time are issuing them what we would call in legal form, ultra vires, that is outside their legal authority, which means what? They're breaking the law. And so it's from top to bottom, Greg. It's crazy.
Well, we're gonna
see what we can do about that in terms of making crime illegal again.
Here. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, there's several cases I'm gonna run by you that SCOTUS are considering, and get your thoughts with regards to that. And their skits.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation Radio Show. If you follow my program, you know I'm a miracle survivor of a catastrophic car accident where I saved my daughter's life, spent 6 weeks on life support, died 4 times. And broke bones in my head, neck, back, ribs, arms, pelvis, and both legs. That was in 2017. In 2004, I was given 3 to 6 months to live as my pituitary gland and adrenal gland shut down. In both instances, God and His natural cures saved and preserved my life. Recently, I was introduced to a product that has taken my healing to a whole nother level. If you want to know more, go to cgrwellness.com and sign up for an account. It's free to sign up. That's cgrwellness.com and sign up for your free account. And when you get done, email me at pg@pastorgregyoung.com. That's pg@pastorgregyoung.com, and I'll tell you how to get well. Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, lockdowns, inflation, and the list goes on? There's something you can do. Buy from companies that believe what you and I believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there's been one company willing to stand with you since 2012, Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer nationwide coverage using the same towers as all the major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and discounts for veteran and first responder heroes and multi-line accounts. They are 100% U.S.-based, providing exceptional customer service. Most importantly, Patriot Mobile shares our values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, first responders, and veterans. Use the code CHOSEN for free activation. Call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Call today. Use the code CHOSEN, patriotmobile.com/chosen.
From Leading the Way, Dr. Michael Youssef. The truth is hard to accept, particularly in our society, and that is maybe why it's a sign of the end of times. The truth that is only one way to heaven and to the Father, and it is through Jesus and Jesus alone, is a very hard truth to accept, that Jesus is the only divine Son of God, that Jesus is the only Redeemer that can redeem anyone who would come to Him and believe in Him, that Jesus was born of a virgin, that Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried, that Jesus rose again on the third day, that Jesus is soon coming back to judge the living and the dead, especially those who refuse to come to God. Jesus' way, that's hard.
Ready to start your faith journey with Jesus? Visit ltw.org/Jesus.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day. And I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. I got a little bit different camera angle. There we go. We'll look right into the camera and say hello. All right. Well, my guest is David Shostokas. He is our constitutional attorney. And so I was looking at the SCOTUS blog, several different. So there's of course, the court's going to hear a challenge to affirmative action at Harvard and the University of North Carolina. Have you had a chance to look at that at all?
I'm not familiar with that case,
okay.
But I am familiar with the principles involved. And, it's just the idea, it is basically a discrimination based upon race. And to my mind, it's illegal, but I don't know what's the basics on this case.
So let me see. Let me click on the link and see what we got going on. So the Supreme Court on Monday agreed to reconsider the role of race in college admissions. In a brief order, the justices agreed to take up two cases, asking them to overrule their landmark 2003 decision, Grutter versus Bollinger, holding that the University of Michigan could consider race as a part of its efforts to assemble a diverse student body. The decision to grant review in the two cases suggests that the court's conservative majority is poised to do just that. The cases are Students for Fair Admissions versus President and Fellows of Harvard College and Students for Fair Admissions versus University of North Carolina. 6 years ago, a divided court upheld the University of Texas consideration of race in its undergraduate admissions process. Justice Anthony Kennedy wrote for the 4-3 majority in Fisher versus the University of Texas, joined by Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Stephen Breyer, and Sonia Sotomayor. So obviously it says the composition of the court's changed significantly since then. So I know that'll be interesting. I know Ward Connerly was directly involved in overturning affirmative action and having it repealed in California and a number of other states. And he will be joining us starting in February as a regular guest.
Oh, excellent. Well, in principle, that I would suggest that case, 2003 case, was wrongly decided. Basically, the Constitution should, in fact, be colorblind. The making decisions, quote, for diversity based on race has no real legal basis. It seems to me that if you're going to look for diversity, it should be based on economics. Well established, successful kids from black families are not any more disadvantaged than successful kids from white families, I would suspect that the court is probably the reason for taking this is hopefully to begin to move past these kinds of things and start to talk about character and achievement and economic differences that give people who are in fact themselves personally economically disadvantaged. And I think the court seems to be moving more towards back towards individual considerations as opposed to group considerations, which is more consistent with what the United States has always been. And I certainly hope that that's the direction they're going to go. And this will give them the opportunity to do that. Because the individual individuals have rights, right? Groups that don't have rights. There is no
the Ninth Amendment. Rights. Yep.
Yeah.
The Ninth Amendment. Holding to that thought is another case that the Supreme Court picked up, and that is they granted a petition filed by Axon Enterprises, which makes body cameras for law enforcement. The case arises out of the company's efforts to acquire a competitor when the Federal Trade Commission raised the prospect of bringing, and subsequently did bring, administrative proceedings because of antitrust concerns. Axon went to the federal district court. Here's the key to this. The district court dismissed Axon's complaint, holding that Axon should first raise its constitutional challenges in the administrative proceedings themselves. So what Axon is now challenging and asking the justices to weigh in on is whether the district court has the power to review constitutional challenges to the FTC structure and whether the FTC structure itself violates the Constitution. And I know from my friend Michael Dougherty and his book, The Devil Inside the Beltway, and the battle that he has fought with the FTC, his contention is that this whole administrative state, which was created based on that Chevron decision to a degree, is all unconstitutional because these courts, these administrative courts, don't give constitutional consideration to those that enter into their courts. Your thoughts, David?
Yes, no, that's absolutely correct. You know, a long time ago, there was something that had a very, very powerful effect on how the court viewed things, and it was something called the non-delegation doctrine. In fact, I wrote about this as a law school student that essentially says the Congress cannot give to executive agencies lawmaking power or judicial power because the Constitution gives lawmaking power to the Congress and judicial power to the courts. And there is no authority in the Constitution for the creation of these administrative courts, if you will, and nor the interpretation where these regulations have the full effect, force and effect of law. And backing away from that Chevron decision, which is something altogether, is it looks like that's on the Gorsuch agenda, and hopefully that'll be some where they're going to be making headway in that regard, bringing the power back to where the Constitution says. So a lot of these things are about who decides,
right?
You know.
Well, and this Axon, what keyed me in with this Axon situation is the challenge to the legalities of the FTC's commissions, right, and how they handle it. We got to run.
Are you getting up in the morning feeling like you and your bed had a bad night, still tired? Stop. It doesn't have to be that way. That's why Mike Lindell started MyPillow, and after his success helping people sleep better with the pillow, Mike decided to go all in. He found Giza cotton for the best sheets and created the ultimate mattress topper. And since stores won't carry his product, he's passing that savings on to you. Use the code Pastor Greg for incredible discounts and help feed starving children. Call today.
800-662-9236. 800-662-9236.
Nowhere else are you going to be able to sleep well and know that you have fed starving kids. Use the code Pastor Greg. Call MyPillow today.
800-662-9236. 800-662-9236.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
This is Adam Mundall with State Air, and we are sponsors of Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Sponsoring this program has been a real blessing to our business, and I want to encourage you to join me in sponsoring Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Call him today at 830-446-3624. Once again, that's 830-446-3624. I know your business will be blessed as ours is, and I challenge you to this blessing. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation radio show, reminding you that we have a 2-hour program Monday through Friday with great interviews on topics that impact you. Our goal is to return our country to a biblically based constitutional republic as envisioned by our founding fathers and what made our nation the greatest in the world for over 150 years. You are a part of that vision. So please join us at ChosenGenerationRadio.com, ChosenGenerationRadio.com, and sign up for our emails today.
And now, your Pathway Minute
with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Some of you are struggling with this issue of forgiveness. Forgiveness is important for our physical well-being. It's crucial to our emotional well-being. I'll never forget the words of one Christian psychiatrist I heard who said 80% of the beds in psychiatric hospitals could be emptied today if the patients knew how to forgive. But not only is forgiveness crucial for our physical and emotional healing, it is absolutely a requirement for our spiritual well-being. Again, we read the words. Jesus could not have been more clear in Matthew 6. If you forgive others, God will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will my Father forgive you. Do you believe the words of Jesus?
Pathway Minute is produced by Pathway to Victory. To access the Bible teaching of Dr. Robert Jeffress, go to ptv.org. And now, your Pathway Minute with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Some of you are struggling with this issue of forgiveness. Forgiveness is important for our physical well-being. It's crucial to our emotional well-being. I'll never forget the words of one Christian psychiatrist I heard who said 80% of the beds in psychiatric hospitals could be emptied today if the patients knew how to forgive. But not only is forgiveness crucial for our physical and emotional healing, it is absolutely a requirement for our spiritual well-being. Again, we read the words. Jesus could not have been more clear in Matthew 6. If you forgive others, God will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will my Father forgive you. Do you believe the words of Jesus?
Pathway Minute is produced by Pathway to Victory. To access the Bible teaching of Dr. Robert Jeffress, go to ptv.org.
Now, back to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg.
Pastor Greg.
And don't forget, you can get more Chosen Generation at www.chosengenerationradio.com.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Let me see. I got to get over here to a different area. There. Oh, there we go. All right. So you can see up in the... it's going to be this way, upper left-hand corner. Rick Manning, president of Americans for Limited Government, my co-host during this segment, and the wonderful and always incredibly enlightening. I don't know. Well, it is enlightening, but it's more
informative.
It's informative.
Informative, yes. Enlightening.
Yes, I was just going to say it's got more punch than that. I want to welcome Claire Lopez to the program also. Claire, good to have you.
Well, thank you. Thank you both. I'm blushing over here.
Yeah, I was wondering because your picture was changing colors, so I was thinking that there must be something going on.
Wow.
Oh, man. Well, hey, great to have both of you with me. Thanks so much for being here. We certainly have a great deal to discuss in our segment today because there's a lot going on in the world. I was talking with a friend of mine earlier this week, and he was saying, well, let me see. So, you know, he was, you know, reading, and he's a former analyst, actually, intelligence analyst. So he would take the language stuff that I would gather, or guys like me and other intel, put it together into a report, and then go into the general's office and say, hey, here's what you need to be paying attention to, and here's probably what you need to do about it. So anyway, he was getting some of his background stuff, and he was saying, gee, so China attacks Taiwan, Russia attacks the Ukraine, and North Korea attacks South Korea, and they do it all simultaneously while sending subsonic missiles into the United States. Not a problem. Anybody? Wait, there's just silence.
Almost the worst case scenario, but the worst case scenario includes Iran attacking Saudi's oil fields and seeking all out assault on the Saudi oil fields and on Israel, and you end up at that point you get your fourth front in the war, and yes, if China decides that they are that this is the time to strike, you know, they will do what you just described, and the and we will face and our people will face a choice as to whether to launch a nuclear strike against China and Russia and everybody else, and effectively, you know, end life as we know it. So that's China's choice. I don't think China will do that, but they certainly are capable if they think they can get away with anything but attack the United States part of it, and taking Taiwan simultaneously when the Ukraine is being taken and the Baltics are being taken by Russia, and you have Iran launching a war against Israel and Saudi Arabia, and North Korea is attacking South Korea. All four of those things happening simultaneously have one effect. Them launching missiles on the United States has, you know, causes a different effect. And I think they're going to believe that Joe Biden will be too weak to be able to respond effectively, but he won't have any choice if missiles are landing on Washington, D.C.
Claire?
Yeah, I think we need to take a very big deep breath here.
I'll go along with that.
Crisis scenarios are pretty bleak. And the fact of the matter is that the United States is in a very weak position now, not only with leadership at the top, the White House, the Biden administration, but certainly also our military, which is no longer capable, technologically speaking, is no longer capable of keeping up with China and Russia. Hypersonic missiles that you mentioned, Pastor, one of those areas. There are a few reasons why Xi Jinping may hold off going against Taiwan. One, of course, is the Olympics, which begin, I think, next week.
Yep.
And they want to put on a good face for that. The second reason is that later this year, I think it's November, if I remember right, of this year, 2022, Xi Jinping is seeking an unprecedented third term as the party secretary general, the CCP. And he also probably wants to keep things at a low simmer, you know, until he manages to pull that off, if he does, if he can. And then we can go over to Ukraine and Russia, if you like. But I wanted to point out a couple of really good pieces that I've read, watched over the last couple of days. One is an excellent op-ed from General Mike Flynn at the Western Journal about the crisis on the border of Ukraine with Russia. And the second is another very excellent interview, and that is with Peter Pry and Robert Riley at the Westminster Institute. You can find that either by going to the Westminster Institute website, or it's on YouTube. Peter is brilliant, and this was about an hour-long interview, so it's a long one, but worth listening to.
He'll be with me on the 9th. Of February. Peter Pry will be back with us on the 9th of February. He's a regular guest.
Excellent.
Here. Yeah, so he'll be on. Actually, he'll be on right before you on the 9th.
Excellent.
Oh, perfect.
And towards what Claire is saying, the one of the challenges that Xi has in China is his Politburo believes that he pushed too hard during Trump and caused and set back their ability to take over the world by 5 years. And so the charge against him internally in China is that he's not patient enough. He's too ambitious, outwardly ambitious. And I, you know, once again, it may sound weird, but if you think Joe Biden's gonna be stronger in a year, I don't think anybody in the window does, and I don't believe that Joe Biden will be stronger in 2 years or 3 years. Mm-hmm. So given that, there's no actual reason to take precipitous action when you can in fact accomplish your objectives without any of those things. For instance, I don't believe that the Ukraine thing is real. Okay? I just don't believe it, and I don't believe it because it's not in Putin's interest. But pressing Biden desperately needs to get off 33%. And so having a crisis allows Biden to sit there and do something that makes it seem like he saved the world from annihilation. And what he'll end up doing is quietly just assure Putin that NATO's not going to move to Ukraine, that he'll probably give away missiles in Poland, but nobody will even know that those are part of the deal. He'll be able to say, Joe Biden brought us back to the brink. And it's cynical to think that way, but, you know, anybody who's read about the Cuban Missile Crisis knows, and beyond what the headlines are, knows that Kennedy was in deep trouble politically. Their party was in deep trouble politically in 62. And magically, he discovered missiles on Cuba that had been in Cuba for at least 5-6 months. And it's if not a year. And so Kennedy then discovers them 2 weeks before the election. And, you know, crisis precipitates. He wins. The Democrats lose like 5 seats as opposed to 45 seats. So there's lots of things out there that political manipulations that occur. Maybe I'm cynical.
I think you're on to something. If I could say one quick thing and then clearly absolutely want to get your expert commentary on it. But I just am curious, too. Remember that President Trump was impeached over his communications with Ukraine and over the whole Ukraine situation. And here we have Joe Biden, who we know was knee deep in the Ukraine situation as the vice president under Obama, and then his son Hunter making all those dollars. And I saw you and Robert Romano Kathy on YouTube the other day, Rick. You know, I don't know why nobody's bringing up all of the background stuff relative to Joe Biden's involvement in Ukraine to begin with, that's really a big part of creating all of these smoke and mirror issues. Go ahead, Claire.
Yeah, I was going to say, Rick, that you're not being cynical at all. I agree with you. I think there are lessons from the Cuban Missile Crisis as well. And one of those is that when the Soviet Union placed nuclear weapons on that island 90 miles off the coast of Florida, that did precipitate a near nuclear exchange crisis. Now we have Putin, who is looking at a NATO moving ever further eastward in their view. Okay, remember their view. They've been invaded. Russia's been invaded from the Mongols to Napoleon to Hitler over their open land borders repeatedly. This is their view. This is how they look at the world. And Putin sees NATO encroaching ever further eastward. We went ballistic when Soviet Union put missiles 90 miles off the coast of Florida. Putin is looking at NATO missiles on the exact border. And then the other thing is, the last thing I'll say here is that when the United States is out there, you know, barking mad about withdrawing our personnel from embassies in Ukraine and, you know, sending troops to neighboring NATO countries, the statement from Ukraine, from the president, Volodymyr Zelensky.
Let's get into that when we come back. We got to jump to a break. We'll be right back right after this.
Now is a critical time to be vigilant in the defense of our freedom. There's no better way to do so than by joining the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC. AMAC is one of the fastest growing conservative organizations in America. Well over 2 million people have joined and now carry the AMAC membership card. AMAC was built by regular folks who feel the same way you do. You're not alone. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that made America so great. We're fighting the good fight against reckless government spending and the ever-expanding scope of federal government. We believe in the sanctity of our Constitution. So if you're 50 or over and hold to traditional American values, you no longer have to feel alone. Call the Association for Mature American Citizens, AMAC, and get great discounts and support your values. Call today, 855-696-7930, 855-696-7930. Use the code PASTOR GREG, get your first year absolutely free. Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, lockdowns, inflation, and the list goes on? There's something you can do. Buy from companies that believe what you and I believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there's been one company willing to stand with you since 2012, Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer nationwide coverage using the same towers as all the major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and discounts for veteran and first responder heroes and multi-line accounts. They are 100% U.S.-based, providing exceptional customer service. Most importantly, Patriot Mobile shares our values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, first responders, and veterans. Use the code CHOSEN for free activation. Call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Call today. Use the code CHOSEN, patriotmobile.com/chosen.
Thank you for tuning into Chosen Generation. Chosen Generation is about equipping, encouraging, and challenging this generation to engage culture and to fulfill God's plan and purpose for our city, county, state, and nation to be the Christian influence and light that we have been called to be. Pastor Greg is committed to seeing God's life-changing power work in you. If you need prayer today or have a question, you can reach us at 830-446-3624. 830-446-3624. If your church or group would like to have Pastor Greg come and share his passion to raise up a chosen generation, he is available to bring that same life-changing message and anointing to your event. Again, that number is 830-446-3624. 830-446-3624. Give us a call and keep on listening, because you are God's chosen generation.
Married and still loving it. Really? Even if you've been married 40 years? Yes. The joys and challenges of the second half can be even more satisfying than the first half. One of the challenges that keeps marriages alive is the spirit of adventure. It is so easy to get really ingrown as empty nesters. With your tidy house and careful little routines, don't let it happen to you. Or if it has already happened, it's time for a change. Do something you have not done lately. Visit each other's hometown. Share with each other your memories of childhood. Volunteer to work together at the local soup kitchen. Revisit your honeymoon destination. Take a train ride to somewhere. The adventure is waiting.
Dr. Gary Chapman is the author of The Five Love Languages. For more, visit 5lovelanguages.com.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice of where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Let's see. Hey, I want to let you know, tomorrow, exciting, exciting, exciting stuff. Sarah Carter kicks the program off with us. It's going to be really fun to have Sarah back on the show. And then Vernon Jones following that. So you're really going to want to hear the first hour of our program tomorrow. You can find it at tecntv.com, chosengenerationradio.com. Of course, we're on KYH 540 AM in Delta, Utah. And so just want to encourage you to be able to check out our first hour of programming tomorrow, and you'll catch Sarah Carter and Vernon Jones, followed by, I think, Sam Westrop, but we haven't gotten that confirmed yet. And then Scott Eulinger, the station chief, is with us tomorrow as well. Lots and lots of good stuff coming at you on the program tomorrow. Claire Lopez is our guest today, right here, right now. Former CIA operator. There we go. I got it right. And Rick Manning, president of Americans for Limited Government, is my co-host. We were talking in the break, and we're talking about
Greg. If she's an operator, Claire, I've got to have you say,
Hey, who can I send you? Who can I forward you to?
Okay, yeah. Okay. One ringy dingy, two ringy dingy. No, I got it. Okay, all right, all right, all right, all right. I'm busted. What can I tell you?
currently, Lopez Liberty LLC and a senior advisory board member at the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement.
There you go.
I don't even know if I can say those words, Claire.
You had a question you wanted to ask her, so I interrupted with my joke.
We were talking about, in the break about the buildup of the troops. You were beginning to talk to us about Putin and a potential concern relative to his border. But something, you know, that was said in the break was this has been a situation that's been in existence for quite some time. And there may be some other things that are not in the headlines that we need to be paying attention to.
Yeah. So the crisis over Ukraine goes back quite a few years. And we don't have time for all of the history. But take it back, to 2014, let's say. When the breakaway region of the Donbass, the Donetsk and Luhansk regions of the Donbass bordering Russia, began a separatist movement. And that was the year also that Crimea went back to Russia. Historically, it's always been part of Russia. It wanted to be part of Russia. Referendum, 95% plus voted to be with Russia. But the buildup of the troops currently on Ukraine's border, either to the north from Belarus or on the east from Russia, goes back to about, April or something, about a year ago, 2021. And so, as the Biden administration and mainstream media seems to be, working itself up into a lather, the president of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, issued a statement saying that nothing's changed. The exact same number of troops or thereabouts remains where they've been for a year. There hasn't been anything, no new developments. I think what is happening is that Putin wants to bully and threaten the West and NATO, the United States, into giving him what he always wanted, which is the sliver of the Donbass, not a full-on invasion of Ukraine. And so he'll threaten and pressure. And Biden will, the administration, going to send troops, we're going to send this, we're going to send that. And in the end, Putin, they'll say, okay, you've got the Donbass, you've got it. That's already sliced off. And Putin will say, okay. And then we'll all say, oh, crisis averted. And he's gotten what he wanted all along in the first place.
Right.
Well, let me jump in and say this too, though, that I think is interesting and something that we should probably be discussing. Remember that Xi and Putin have been having meetings and conversations, and now you've got the CCP really having a significant influence within NATO. And so you got to wonder, with regards to what you just said, Claire, which obviously, as Rick was about to say, is so on point and a very astute observation, is the CCP the puppet master who is manipulating the situation?
Russia and China are transactional partners temporarily for the moment.
Sure.
Russia's interests are westward. They're not to the east. China wants to gobble up Siberia, and they may well do it eventually for its natural resources.
Mm-hmm.
Russia's interests are west.
Right.
China is the threat.
I'm not arguing that the CCP isn't the threat, but here's something else. Let me throw this out just as we're talking about CCP real quick in these moments. Russia realized or learned, and the whole fall of the wall, in my opinion, as a former Russian linguist, that was all make-believe so that they could suck American economy in, because they knew that a nuclear war or a nuclear strike or a war of any sort, that wasn't going to win the day. They had to win from the inside. That being said, I think the CCP may be coming to the same conclusion. I don't think they want a nuclear war. It's not in their best interest to have a nuclear war, in my thoughts.
No, it's not. It's not in their interest. But they will obtain whatever they can through bluster and bully and threat.
Sure.
The gray zone, if you will, hybrid warfare. That includes cyber, by the way, which is a very real threat.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want a conflagration either, any more than Putin does.
Well, yeah, that's if you're winning the way it's going now,
yeah.
Why would you change what's happening now?
Yeah.
I mean, who wins in this little scenario? Okay, by having the focus of the West on Ukraine, China wins because the focus of the West before the Olympics isn't on the deplorable conditions in China and how our manufacturers are actually keeping the slave state in place. Okay, so they don't want that scrutiny. They were getting it. Now they're not getting it. They're going to get their Olympics. They're going to get to show their best face forward, but they're not going to have the run-up of really irritated about what's going on and pressure put on corporations to get out of China. So that's China wins by our focus on Ukraine. Biden wins by focus on Ukraine because he'll come out the hero and stop the nuclear war when no nuclear war was ever going to happen. Presumably, the Greens are going to come out okay because the Nord Stream pipeline is still going to be operational. And it'll be part of the deal. The Germans are saying, well, we're going to look at whether to open this or not based on your behavior. Putin backed off. Nord Stream goes online. The import terminal for liquefied natural gas in the United States is shut down, which it was announced this past weekend. And so, so our natural gas industry gets shut out and Russia gets what they want. Germany gets what they want. And the only people who don't get anything is the United States, because what we get is Joe Biden being, getting his up 5 points.
Yeah, I mean, looking ahead, the real danger is the leverage that Putin and Russia are acquiring over Europe. In particular, mm-hmm. we can see it already happening in Germany than the others. They get upwards of 40% of all their energy needs from Russia. That's a huge amount of leverage.
Yeah.
And we can see already with Germany's policies acquiescing, falling under the pressure of from Putin and from Russia to do what they want. That is the long-term danger here.
Well, and let's not forget the genocide games and what's happening there. And as you said, Rick, this takes the attention off of that because our athletes have already been threatened that they're not to say anything about whatever they might see over there that seems to be out of place. And there's a media blackout that's already taking place. So as you said, they're going to do what they're going to do. Thank you very much. Claire Lopez has been our guest. Rick Manning has been my co-host. I'll be back tomorrow. God bless you.
At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, what did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God and I love his creation, and I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil and only God is good, and Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up, and in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil, so you all might enter into his rest.
Hey everyone, I'm Maria Bear, writer and co-host of Breakpoint This Week, your weekly conversation on news and culture from a Christian worldview perspective. I'm inviting you to join me and John Stone Street each weekend right here on this station for a 30-minute look through what's happening in our world and how we as Christians should respond with truth and love together.